Radio Prague News.
Czech holidaymakers have continued cutting their stays in Egypt short following Saturday's terrorist attacks. The Czech Republic is set to increase security measures in the wake of the Egyptian blasts. The Prime Minister has said he will not seek a successor to the late Culture Minister Pavel Dostal until later in August. The Czech Airlines Special has returned from Egypt, bringing back 176 Czech and Slovak holidaymakers who decided to cut short their vacations following Saturday's terrorist attacks. The plane, an Airbus A310, is the third flight since Saturday to bring Czechs home from the Sharm el-Sheikh Red Sea Resort. A fourth is expected to return an additional 200 people late on Monday. The Foreign Ministry has estimated there were between 1,500 and 2,000 Czech holidaymakers staying in the Sharm el-Sheikh area in about 40 different hotels at the time of Saturday's attacks. Ministry spokesman Vít Kolář has said it was a matter of luck that more Czechs weren't hurt or killed. One Czech man was among the many who died. And the Czech Republic will see an additional increase in security measures following terrorist attacks in Egypt at the weekend. Speaking at a press conference on Monday, the Interior Minister František Bublan said measures would include an increase in so-called sniffer dogs used to root out bombs, as well as greater reliance on security cameras in public areas. Intelligence services will be more active, controls over the transport of explosives will be heightened, and, for example, more Czech flights and destinations will make use of onboard police guards. Although, according to the Prime Minister, the Czech Republic is not under immediate threat, experts as well as the Prime Minister have said a terrorist attack was impossible to rule out. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has said he has no plans at this time to look for anyone to succeed the Culture Minister Pavel Dostal, who died on Sunday. Mr. Paroubek has said that such considerations would not be ethical, coming immediately after the minister's death. But he did indicate he would begin considering the matter later in August. Pavel Dostal died on Sunday at the age of 62 after a year-long fight with cancer. A former playwright and dissident, Mr. Dostal was one of the Czech Republic's most respected politicians. A memorial event in his honor has been planned for Thursday at the National Theatre in Prague. For a look at sport, £7 million British pounds. That is the price that British daily The Guardian has reported football club Liverpool is asking for striker Milan Baroš, almost doubling the price the club paid for the Czech player in 2001. Teams that have expressed an interest in acquiring Baroš, who excelled in last year's European Championship, include Spanish club Deportivo La Coruña, English club West Ham United, and English side Aston Villa. According to The Guardian, Aston Villa are especially interested in the Czech forward and may consider upping their official offer, until now, of £5 million. Meanwhile, Baroš has been on the ball, scoring 2 goals against Olympiacos Piraeus on Sunday. I'm Jan Vellinger. That's the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Pavla Horáková. One of the most popular Czech politicians, Culture Minister Pavel Dostal, has died. The Czech authorities are planning to test the country's readiness in case of a terrorist attack, while Prague has been testing its new anti-flood system. A little later on, why do Czechs have problems with public speaking? Find out in Talking Point. One of the Czech Republic's most popular public figures, Culture Minister Pavel Dostal, died on Sunday at the age of 62. Mr. Dostal, playwright, theatre director, anti-communist dissident and cabinet minister, had been fighting cancer of the pancreas for the past year. Rob Cameron looks back at a colourful life and a remarkable career.
Pavel Dostal was a mainstay of the Czech political scene for the last decade. Immediately recognisable with his dark skin, dense curly hair, silk scarves and earring, he cut an unlikely figure in a lower house dominated by men in bland suits. But he commanded respect on all sides of the house, and tributes have poured in from across the political spectrum. One man who knew him well was philosophy professor Erazim Kohak.
I don't know where I would start. It was the contribution of a person who lived a very creative life, both as an actor, but mostly as a politician, or I should say perhaps as a public figure who set a certain standard of cultivated discourse for this country.
Pavel Dostal was born in the town of Olomouc in North Moravia in 1942. He worked in theatre in his hometown and published his first play in 1966. He was a member of the Communist Party until the Soviet invasion of 1968, when he became actively involved in Czechoslovak radio's underground broadcasts against the invasion. For the next 20 years, he was forced to do manual jobs, shoveling coal into boilers and working in a warehouse. After the revolution, however, his career in the theatre resumed, and he soon took an active interest in politics. He was elected as an MP for the Social Democrats in 1996 and appointed culture minister in 1998, a post he kept until his death, making him the longest-serving minister since 1989. His views sometimes got him into trouble. One night after leaving Parliament, he was attacked and his face slashed for defending the country's Roma minority. He refused to be intimidated by the attack and continued to speak out against racism and intolerance. Erazin Kohak says, above all, he was a man who believed in the power of dialogue to resolve conflicts.
The memory that I want to hold on to is sitting in a Mexican restaurant, having a wonderful meal and agreeing with each other totally while quarreling. We came into a very basic disagreement as to something about Czech television, and yet we were the best of friends. I think for Dostal, the pure joy of living, and in this particular case of eating, bridged over all conflict.
Pavel Dostal's absence will be keenly felt, not just in the lower house, but also in the two very different worlds of Czech politics and culture.
Concerning the dead, we have one from the Czech Republic, a Russian, one Italian.
An Egyptian tourism ministry representative announcing on Saturday the nationalities of the victims of the string of blasts in Egypt's Red Sea resort of Sharm el-Sheikh. The Czech Republic has its first victim of terrorism. 24-year-old Petr Kořán worked for a travel agency in Sharm el-Sheikh. He was sitting in a cafe when the bombs went off. Another Czech sustained light injuries in the explosions. According to the Foreign Ministry's estimates, there are between 1,500 and 2,000 Czech holidaymakers in Egypt's Red Sea resorts. Around 200 of them decided to cut short their stay and have already returned home on board two Czech Airlines specials. More are expected to return on Czech Airlines' regular flights and several charter planes to be dispatched to Egypt in the coming days. Czech top officials condemned the terrorist attacks in Egypt, which killed around 90 people.
Celý svět odsoudil terorismus jako nepřijatelný nástroj a proto také potřebuje ve skutečnosti.
Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda said the most important thing was not to let the terrorists impose an atmosphere of fear upon us. Following the terrorist attacks in London on July the 7th, the Czech Republic reinforced police patrols at key sites including the Prague metro, railways, airports and strategic buildings. But the Czech authorities decided not to further increase the security measures after the other series of explosions in London and the most recent attack in Egypt, as Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek said.
Ta opatření jsou dostatečná a podle mého názoru se nedá v tuhle chvíli.
Mr. Paroubek said the security measures now in effect were sufficient and the country could not do much more at the moment, but he said it would be worthwhile to test the country's preparedness in dealing with the consequences of a terrorist attack. Members of the integrated rescue system are expected to stage an exercise simulating an emergency operation in the wake of a terrorist attack sometime in the autumn. Interior Minister František Bublan has summoned a meeting of the Central Crisis Committee to test its readiness. The committee includes representatives of the Interior, Defence and Health Ministries, as well as members of the Czech Republic's intelligence services. According to a spokesman, the country's counterintelligence service, the BIS, is currently exchanging intelligence with more than 50 partner services in almost 40 countries. The BIS says it is in contact also with some countries in North Africa, and in the context of growing risk, the service is considering establishing relations in several other countries. Almost exactly 3 years ago, Prague made headlines around the world when the city was hit by the worst flooding in 500 years. At the time, damage was caused to many historical structures, partly because of an inadequate anti-flood system. Since then, a lot has been spent on improving that system, and it was tested for the first time at the weekend in a major operation involving all the emergency services. Michal Kopecký is the assistant of Prague's mayor. He described the new system to Martin Mikule.
We are using mobile anti-floods obstacles. We call it control flood system, and this system will be done next year in June, July. We predict that all Prague will be covered by this system if we need. Now I have to say that we tested part. It was about 2,500 meters length, and there were about 600 attendants. So I can say that this kind of exercise, anti-floods exercise, this is, in my opinion, the largest exercise in Europe.
What did it involve? Who has taken part in this exercise?
Simply to say, all organizations and agencies which are part of the security system of Prague, first of all, rescue brigades, fire brigades, police, of course agencies which are connected with transportation, and main part was voluntary fire brigades. This was main part of building of these obstacles.
So can you please a little bit describe the anti-flood system? What can our listener imagine? Is it only these anti-flood walls, or what kind of all tools do you use to prevent the floods?
Yeah, it's not only to set up this wall and waiting for wave or flood. There are PR and informations which has to be released for citizens and for tourists. It's not easy to inform our tourists in their languages to prepare transportation way for tracks, to prepare hospitals, to prepare evacuation. Of course, I'm speaking of a real situation. We didn't do any evacuation during this exercise. So every part has to be planned, and it's not easy to describe every part.
Does the anti-flood system include all the city, or only special parts, only the city center?
Simply to say, next year will be all Prague protected from the floods 2002 plus 30 centimeters. Except parts on the south and on the north of city. There are parts which cannot be protected because price for this system will be huge, and it's very difficult to set up this system on the south of Prague.
Michal Kopecký from Prague City Hall talking there to Martin Mikule. You're listening to Radio Prague, and now Ian Willoughby is here with the latest Czech sports news.
Thanks, Pavlo. Well, first today it's football, and Sigma Olomouc have sensationally knocked Borussia Dortmund out of the Intertoto Cup, with a nil-all home draw on Saturday, enough to get them through to the semi-finals after a 1-1 draw in Dortmund. It's a few years now since Dortmund were a real force, but the Bundesliga side still rank as a major scalp for Olomouc. Manager Petr Olichny was jumping for joy when the full-time whistle went, and says he hopes his team can take that form into the Czech league. Meanwhile, it's another season without European competition for Borussia Dortmund's Czech duo of Jan Koller and Tomáš Rosický. Many pundits agree that Rosický, who once appeared to have a brilliant future ahead of him, is stagnating at the club. But the 24-year-old playmaker says he can at least look forward to the rest of the Czech Republic's World Cup qualifying campaign. His international teammate Milan Baroš should have a much clearer idea about his future this week. The striker and his agent are due to hold talks with Liverpool manager Rafael Benitez in the coming days. Baroš isn't a favourite of the Reds' bus, but is clearly fighting for his future. He scored 5 goals in 3 preseason friendly games. Another Czech striker, Petr Mikolanda of Viktoria Žižkov, is on trial at West Ham and has impressed the Premiership club with 3 goals in 4 friendlies. And Czech goalkeeper Radek Černý has had the opportunity to shine at Tottenham Hotspur. With their first-choice goalkeeper injured, Černý helped Spurs to victory in the Peace Cup in South Korea, in which they beat Olympic Lyon 3-1 in the final at the weekend. Moving on to tennis, and the Czech Republic's Klára Kokalová was beaten in the final of the Palermo International on Sunday. Kokalová was no match for 3-time winner Anabel Medina Garrigue, losing 4-6, love 6, and really showing her nerves when she double-faulted on match point. The 23-year-old Czech has reached 6 finals on the women's tour in her career, winning on just one of those occasions. And finally, a wonderful story from the world of cycling. 48-year-old Czech Josef Zimovčák has remarkably succeeded in completing the Tour de France on an old-fashioned penny-farthing bicycle. Zimovčák almost had to quit after a bad fall on a mountain stage left him with a broken rib and jaw, but he got back into the saddle, riding most days until around midnight and rising at 6 every morning. Zimovčák, who's a postman, said he planned to treat himself to an ice cream in Paris after completing the 3,607-kilometre tour. And I think, Josef Zimovčák, you deserve your ice cream. That's all the sport for today.
Thanks, Ian. You are tuned to Radio Prague, where it's now time for Talking Point, in which Colleen O'Connor asks whether Czechs are making the most of free speech.
I should like to express to you my most sincere congratulations on the invitation for your countries to join our defense alliance.
The alliance's former Czech president, Václav Havel, demonstrating at a NATO conference that public speaking is not exactly his forte. Although speaking in a foreign language may have hampered his delivery somewhat, Mr. Havel is well known for also making stilted and awkward speeches in Czech. This, however, is not an affliction that is exclusive to Václav Havel, but is perceived by many to be something that permeates much of Czech public life. Czech politicians, and MPs in particular, are known for making rather lacklustre public speeches, unlike in many Western countries where parliamentary discussions are often lively, entertaining affairs like this debate in the English House of Commons.
There will be no deal with those opportunists who stand for nothing except their own political self-interest. The flavour of the minute politicians would be for night if it suited them and day if it didn't.
Czech parliamentary proceedings, on the other hand, often tend to sound like this.
Já chci jenom říct k té více na tu ideologičnost té debaty. Já si opravdu nedovedu představit, že ho budeme takovou věc řešit čtvrtým pozměňovacím návrhem, nebo třetím, nebo sedmým, já nevím kolikátým, vždy spera nebo...
Alena Horáková, who runs a public relations company, admits that the speech-making abilities of many Czech politicians and public figures leaves a lot to be desired, but that there are a number of deep-rooted historical reasons for this.
Ve srovnání se západními zeměmi mají Češi větší problémy s veřejným vystupováním, protože jim...
In comparison with Western countries, Czechs have bigger problems with public speaking. They lack experience with it, and they don't have any role models to emulate. It's also connected to the political situation that existed here before 1989. Because, of course, independent thinking and public speaking were not supported in this country. Rhetoric was something we only knew about from history.
The Czech style of education, which until recently was firmly based on rote learning, has often done little to encourage the development of Czech rhetoric. According to Ms. Horáková, pupils were usually given no support when it came to cultivating and nurturing public speaking and debating skills.
Naše školství nedávalo studentům možnost trénovat nebo rozvíjet.
Our education system didn't give students the opportunity to train or develop their rhetorical abilities, unlike in Britain, for example, where pupils in primary and secondary schools have the possibility of engaging in discussions and competing in debates and that sort of thing. That's definitely a handicap, which has left us in a position where we're now trying to catch up.
Takže to je určitě handicap, který teď doháníme.
Despite lagging behind many mature democracies in terms of the quality of its public discourse, Horáková feels that things have been improving slowly since Czech society opened up after the Velvet Revolution in 1989.
Myslím, že rozhodně se situace zlepšuje. Určitě se
The situation is definitely getting better. A lot has undoubtedly changed. Since the 1990s, public speaking and debating clubs have been established. Rhetoric is now being taught in schools. People are now aware of the need to be good speakers. The situation has also changed since the 1990s in that people can now travel freely abroad, where they experience public speaking and can also follow the example of their foreign colleagues.
Nebo naopak si vzít vzor ze zahraničních kolegů.
Although political speeches and debates in Czech society today are a far cry from the style of discourse that prevailed in the dreary days of communism, Alena Horáková feels that there is still a lot of room for improvement.
V každém případě je znát tady určitý posun, ale
Everywhere you look at it, definite progress has been made. But on the other hand, we can see how lots of professionals still lack basic public speaking skills. Our politicians often speak without really saying anything. Their speeches don't really have any point to them, and they don't sparkle with life. You can even see this in the media. For example, radio and television presenters often speak bad Czech. They use expressions that are fashionable but incorrect in terms of the language used.
Správně česky používají módní výraz z jazykového hlediska nesprávné.
Neříkat zlaté klubko, ale zlaté klubko, ano. Kucava okamžitě vedu.
Do kouta.
Co v tom koutě?
Kohouta.
Co v tom kohoutu?
Zlaté klubko.
Na po.
The sound of students taking a popular course in speaking and rhetoric organized by Alena Horáková's public relations company. One of the instructors on the course is the voice coach, Jiržina Hurková. She says it's still very common for the people she teaches to have absolutely no clue as to how to properly present themselves and their ideas to an audience.
Já si myslím, že tam pořád je vidět určitá vnitřní nejistota.
I think you can still always see a certain amount of insecurity inside them. I provide training sessions for young professionals. And you can see that they are unsure of themselves. You can even see this among people who have a very high level of expertise in their field. For example, they know almost nothing about nonverbal communication.
O nonverbální komunikaci například nevědí, ale téměř vůbec nic.
The reticence that many Czechs display when it comes to putting across their views in public is something that Tom Merton of the Czech Debate Clubs Association is also aware of. He feels that the somewhat stilted academic style that Czechs regularly adopt when they are discussing serious issues is partly responsible.
I think that definitely style would be different because I think that in here we overvalue content over style. I mean, I think that Czechs in general are very deep in content, that they're very usually what they say is very well thought of, but sometimes they don't elaborate on how they say things, and I think that that's something that we should improve.
The Debate Clubs Association was set up by the Prague Open Society Fund in the mid-1990s and has been growing rapidly ever since. Tom Merton says that there are very clear objectives in terms of what this debating organisation can help achieve.
To promote debate, that means to promote critical thinking and the ability to argue, to be able to listen to what the other side has to say, to be able to oppose ideas and to be able to articulate views and, of course, to create attitudes toward different questions. I think this is necessary in every society because if you're not able to critically analyse any plan or idea, then you're destined to do very poorly.
As part of his work with the Debate Clubs Association, Tom Merton coached a Czech team at this year's World Debating Championships, where they narrowly missed out on qualifying for the final rounds, a vast improvement on previous appearances at the event. Buoyed by this success, Merton hopes the association will continue cultivating debating and rhetorical skills among young Czechs. He believes it can help ensure that a new generation emerges which is equipped to grapple constructively with the challenges facing what is still a transitional society.
With respect to the Czech society, I think that it is very useful because the word democracy is very nice, but what does it really mean? And what I feel is that it's very necessary to have opposition for democracy and a constructive opposition. Now, debate teaches people how to do constructive opposition, which doesn't undermine the system, but which makes it better.
And
and Talking Point by Colleen O'Connor has brought us to the end of the program. Just a reminder that you can look up our program online at www.radio.cz, where you'll find all our stories in sound and text. If you feel strongly about any of our programs, please send us your comments to english@radio.cz or to our postal address, Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. From me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team, it's thanks for listening and goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept, Europe. 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe. 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre. 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.